The Simply Strategic Show with Tim Stevens and Tony Morgan.
Happy birthday, Tim.
Not quite.
Not quite?
Not quite. In a couple days, though.
How old are you going to be?
Oh, boy. I should have figured that out ahead of time. I was born in 67, so I will be 39.
You're lying.
What am I lying about?
Well, when anybody comes up on a birthday that's of any significance, they always, you know, it's either 29 or 39 or 49. So
you think, like, this is the one I'll stick at? Or maybe I've been stuck there.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I was born in 67, so do the math.
That'd be 39.
39. I'm catching up with my wife. Every year I catch up with her because she's older than me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You married an older woman.
By 4 months.
Huh.
Beautiful older woman.
Very interesting. Well, enough about your birthday, Tim. Today we're going to talk about music. It's an important part of how we communicate the gospel message in today's culture, and so I think we'll just focus in on music today. You up for that?
As part of that, maybe you can sing me happy birthday.
No, that's not going to happen.
It's a musical.
Folks, you're here with us on the Simply Strategic Show. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Tim, we're actually doing music at Granger Community Church.
Yes, sir.
We've done that for quite some time. But this current series, this weekend series that we're in right now, we're really focusing on music.
Yeah.
Let's see. God, iPod.
Finding God on your iPod.
Finding God on your iPod.
That's right.
That's the series that we're in. And each week, we're taking a song from the top 40 charts. Some of them are from the pop chart. Some of them are from... What is that style of music that we did this past weekend?
Boy, it's, I think it's called country.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Kenny Chesney.
So each week we're taking a song from the top 40 charts, and we're kind of unpacking what that song is all about and kind of looking into it to see what the spiritual issues and questions are that are raised by the song,
mm-hmm.
And then looking at what Scripture has to say about those questions and issues. Been a pretty fun series, but it's all about music and the importance of music. And as you've looked at our ministry through the years, talk to me a little bit about how music has contributed to our ability to reach our community.
You know, I've been at the church for 13 years now, and reflecting back, you know, you think about the music that we were doing 5 years or 10 years or 13 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, at this point, it seems like it dated and maybe cheesy at sometimes, but at the time, you know, it was the culturally relevant music to be using.
Right.
And I've always appreciated that about GCC, even before I started on staff, was the... keeping the music current, and
which that's interesting, because I think that's a different tact than even other seeker churches, or however you want to describe them, contemporary churches. There's kind of a different approach that we've taken, that we've decided we're going to play today's music, whatever
yeah.
that is. We're going to play today's music, whereas there have been other ministries that have kind of picked a contemporary style and kind of stuck with that through the years. Our music has really changed dramatically through the years.
I mean,
even looking at what we were doing a year ago,
exactly.
It's very different.
Yeah, yeah. It's changed even through the months and the last couple of years, as different artists come out and music is current. Even the example you just gave this weekend of Kenny Chesney, you know, I don't know that we would have done a Kenny Chesney song a year or two ago. And my 13-year-old daughter last night told me that that was really cool.
Really?
Kenny Chesney was really cool.
Well, it kind of scared me when they kicked into that song, and there were people throughout the auditorium not only smiling with glee that the song was being played, but they were actually singing along.
Yeah, they knew the words.
Yes, it was kind of like we were doing a hymn sing at Granger Community Church, only it was a country music song.
It was a little scary.
It was very scary.
Yeah.
But talking specifically about this series then, we don't always use secular songs from the top 40 charts, but for this series we have.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Well, you know, music, along with movie scripts and books and you know, other pieces of our culture, that's the language that our culture speaks in. And so what we're trying to do is really connect with the culture. And so many people today draw their spiritual conclusions. They don't draw them from the Bible or from church or from other Christ followers. They draw them from our culture. And so what we're trying to do is tap into that. We're trying to get their attention. And if we can find, you know, truth is truth wherever you find it. And if we can find truth within a song, the lyrics of a song, and then we can, you know, so we get their attention by doing a Natasha Bedingfield song, for example, as we did last week, 2 weeks ago. And so we can use those lyrics and get their attention because they love the song and they love her as an artist and whatever. And get them to church. 2 weeks ago, there was a family I met. They came because they love Natasha Bedingfield. They'd never been to Granger before. They don't go to church anywhere. Mm-hmm. That's why they came. It got their attention, and we kind of unpacked the lyrics from that song, Unwritten,
right,
that she had penned a while back. And it was a way to then bring Scripture to bear on that and talk mm-hmm. about some truths from the Bible. Out of the language of today's culture.
Now, it's not every weekend that we're doing a secular song, but I would guess that for a lot of churches, that would be a huge step.
Yeah.
And how do you justify that?
Well, I think it's really important because we're using the language of our culture. We're doing that to raise issues. And I don't think it's any different than a pastor who would quote from a secular poet or, you know, would quote from Martin Luther King or Abraham Lincoln or a historian or someone in the business world. You know, they use that illustration to get people thinking and to kind of jump into their world.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you lived in a farm community, you'd use a lot of farm illustrations. Well, farm illustrations aren't Christian. They're just illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're doing is taking the language of our culture, something that they can identify with, and using that to raise an issue.
Right.
Maybe it's about a family issue. Maybe it's about divorce. Maybe it's about raising kids. Maybe it's about just purpose or trying to figure out what life's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can use a song that everyone, you know, they already know the words and they're singing it in their car, but they don't really think about it. Most of them spiritually, they're just singing it. And if we can help them kind of reinterpret that song. And then bring Scripture to bear on that, and so that they go out. So the next time they hear that song, they're thinking about, okay, it's about the purpose for my life, and you know, what am I doing? What are my next steps? And we can help them with that.
The other thing I really appreciate about our services is none of the elements really stand on their own. All of the elements are really contributing to one message that flows throughout the service. Other churches talk about that different ways. I know Dave Ferguson over at Community Christian Church in the Chicagoland area talks about having one big idea that they focus in on every service. But we talk about just staying on message throughout this whole service.
Yeah.
And so you're really able to use a song that may not have all the answers, really just raising questions, raising issues. But when you're going to come right behind that and open up the Bible and figure out, you know, how what does God have to say about these issues, it helps the not only the service flow, it feels like it's all part of one continuous message, but you're able to address these issues that the culture is raising without having to really shrink back from the truth from God's Word.
And that seems like such a small shift, but I think it's huge for mm-hmm. churches to, because so many in churches I grew up in, you know, you take I think virtually every church for years, you take the message as kind of a standalone component, and so you do some stuff before it and you do some stuff after it, but the message stands alone. And I think what churches around the country and around the world are learning now is, boy, if we can build towards that, if we can use the arts to build towards the message, if we can use video and singing and other pieces of the arts, drama and whatever, to build towards that, as well as to kind of reflect on it after the actual spoken part of the message, then the entire service becomes the message.
All right, Tim. Well, I'm thinking this special birthday program is right up your alley with all the music stuff.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, so this is where you sing to me?
No.
Really? You should just try it.
No, I don't think so. You're listening to the Simply Strategic Show. I'm here with birthday boy Tim. I'm Tony, and we'll be back in a minute.
I'm 15 for a moment, caught in between 10 and 20, and I'm just dreaming, counting the ways to where you are. I'm 22 for a moment, and she feels bad.
Tim, being that it's the music show and all.
And my birthday celebration.
And that too.
Yeah.
I thought it would be kind of fun to go back through the ages and look at the music that you and I grew up on. Things, songs, musicians that we've listened to through the years.
That would be interesting.
And as much as this would be going kind of in the deep recesses of our minds, our hearts, who we are, it would...
Very close to the intimate parts of our hearts.
Exactly. I think it would be appropriate if we shared an intimate moment.
Time to turn down the lights. Light a candle. Burn some incense. You're listening to Intimate Moments with the bald and beautiful Tim Stevens and Tony Morgan.
Tim, I'm guessing that the way we grew up with music looks very different.
I would guess that, too. I don't know that we've ever talked about it, but I would guess that knowing my background, my guess is yours is different.
Yes. Now, the ironic thing about my background is both my parents were music majors. You would think, having both parents being music majors, that music would have been, you know...
A huge part of your life.
Part of my life growing up. The reality is, I think my parents were so sick of music doing in their jobs.
Professionally, yeah.
That we rarely had music in our home growing up. I mean, it was marching band music. My dad was the marching band director. And I remember him, you know, playing records of potential songs that he could use with the marching band.
Those were those big plate-sized...
Yeah, remember those? In fact, I saw someone just released a new album out on an actual record recently.
Wow.
I can't remember who that was. They were suggesting you could pick those record player gizmos
at
garage sales. So I don't
probably.
Know if that's true. But... You know, as a small child, young Tony Morgan, marching band music.
Marching band. I would not have guessed that. I guess I'm not too far off from that because my parents loved classical music, and I grew to love that. I remember standing in front of the stereo or in front of the mirror, and I was in bands. So, you know, the idea of a conductor, and we'd go to symphonies and stuff. So I'd be the conductor. And I'd be conducting, you know, Tchaikovsky or Rachmaninoff or something like that, and thought, man, that'd be pretty cool to do when I grew up.
Hmm.
And then I got into, later on, I got into Southern Gospel. I can't remember how
what?
I got into it.
Southern Gospel.
Southern Gospel.
Now, how would that be distinguished from Gospel?
Southern Gospel, a lot of times it's four guys, you know, it's a really low bass and it's a screaming high tenor.
Really low bass?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do the tenor, do. Screaming high tenor. I said that too.
Screaming high tenor?
That's it. That's exactly it. So like the Kingsmen, the Cathedrals, the Singing Americans. I mean, there was a bunch of those groups that
That be different from a barbershop quartet?
It's a barbershop quartet-y, but with a little more soul and kick and...
Soul and kick. I'm wondering if these terms have ever been used for Southern Gospel before.
I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Now, you still don't listen to Southern Gospel, do you?
No, I don't. I guess I graduated from that up to, like, I love Don Francisco. Do you remember Don Francisco?
No.
Don Francisco couldn't sing worth a hoot. He was like a guy that was like 3'9" or something. He was really short. He had long hair, like down to his knees.
Something against short people?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm just describing him.
All right.
And he'd sit there and play guitar, and all his songs were like story-based. He's Alive.
Oh.
Gotta Tell Somebody.
I remember that song.
Oh, yeah. And he kind of had this vibrato. But he's a really great songwriter, a very bad singer, but I enjoyed his music.
Yeah.
Then I got rid of all those because I heard that Christian rock was bad, so. So I got rid of them.
And you went into the dark for a few years then?
I went into the dark for a few years, and then I emerged on the other side.
Yeah. Now, when I actually started listening to music growing up, I play the piano for fun.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like a little bit maybe above average, but I've always enjoyed bands where piano was kind of a key component of the music. And so guys like Billy Joel's one of my favorites. Yeah. A little bit of Elton John. You can only take so much of Elton John. Music is great, but I can only take so much of Elton John.
Just as Elton John.
Right. Exactly.
Why is that, Tony?
He's maybe too short.
He plays tennis.
Does he really?
He does. He's a pretty good tennis player.
Is he?
Yeah. That's everything I know about him. did you like way back when we were growing up, like Dino, Christian pianist? Did you get into him at
all? See, I think I've heard Dino play, I think.
I like Dino and Fronte and Teicher.
Well, who?
Fronte and Teicher. Oh, Tony, you haven't lived. These were dueling pianists.
That would
put their grands end to end, and then they'd do a pretty good show. I went to some of their concerts.
How about? Oh, you did.
Oh yeah.
No, actually, after I became a Christ follower, then Michael W. Smith was.
Oh yeah.
You know, because piano is kind of a big part of his music.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so, in fact, what happened then is for the decade of the '90s, I knew a lot of the pop music from the '70s and the '80s, and I'm familiar with the pop music of the 21st century, but I went into this big vacuum in the '90s where I was only listening to Christian music, and so I have no idea what was popular in the '90s, with the exception of Madonna.
Well, that would be true for me too, except my dark ages, as far as popular music, started in 1967, which we established was when I was born.
Right.
And went all the way till I was about 27 or 30, somewhere in that range. So don't feel too bad on the dark ages of the '90s.
Okay. All right. Well, folks, this has been an intimate moment. And again, as always, this is probably a little bit more information than you needed about Tim or myself. But hey, it's our podcast, so you'll just have to deal with it.
That's right.
We'll be back in a moment. Take the first step of a million more, and I'll make mistakes I've never Tim, I love music. My iPod's filled. I think I have over 700 songs now.
700 songs on your iPod?
Yeah.
We were talking the other day that I'm still kind of the old traditionalist. I'm still buying CDs because I know I can hang on. I load them on my iPod, but I like that physical thing to hang on to. But you're doing the whole
I can't remember the last time
thing.
I bought a CD.
Yeah.
The first download I did was YouTube. What's that? There, How to Dismantle Something?
Atomic Bomb.
The Atomic Bomb one, yeah. That was my first download from iTunes. I think it's a pretty good album.
It is a good album.
Last download was, how do you say it?
Hoobastank.
Hoobastank?
Hoobastank. Don't put the emphasis on the stank. Just call it Hoobastank.
Hoobastank.
It's not Hoobastank.
Where are they from, Dustin?
England?
No.
Alabama. California.
California. Well, there's finally something good that came out of California.
That is a good album.
How about that?
Can we still call them albums? They're really not albums anymore.
I don't know.
They're not CDs anymore. They're just releases.
Releases. Probably. Yeah. Well, you've been listening to the Simply Strategic Show. Today has been all about music. We hope you've enjoyed it. Tim, do you want to conclude the show by singing something?
Happy birthday to me. Since you're not going to sing for me.
Yeah, I know. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to the Simply Strategic Show with Tim Stevens and Tony Morgan. For more information, visit wiredchurches.com. Copyright 2006.